Well, we're at the base of the Red Bank Bridge in a place called the Red Bank Access. This was the first abattoirs in Port Hedland. It was established in about 1964-65. But the fellow who started this up was the name of Mr. Jeff Stocker. He started off this. He was a pig farmer. And all the area around here, he used to have pigs, mainly pigs, and that's what he really specialised in. But as the demand got bigger, he expanded and went into sheep. And I don't think he could have had too many cattle, because by the look of those runners there, Scott, I don't think the cattle would be hanging on the ground if he had too many cattle. And one of the most interesting historical aspects of this place was that he specialised in pork, and in 1966 he had the biggest order he'd ever received for any pork that, you know, from this abattoirs. And they took every single skerrick of bacon pork they had in the abattoirs, and it went on board that very historical ship, the Harvey S. Mudd, which was the one that took the first load of iron ore out of Port Hedland in 1966. So history was not only created by pork, it was also created by iron ore.
Well, that's it. You'd think it was just solely iron ore, the first shipment, but no, there was some homegrown pork on there as well.
It was an additional cargo there. Very, very few people knew that they took on board, but it was the pride and joy of Mr. Stocker that was the best story ever. And I understand they worked for a couple of days to make sure the kills were already done, because they had a special time of sailing, and they fulfilled the order, and that was probably the best order they ever had. I'm not saying this for truthfully that they ever had here, but I'd say it'd be one of the first best 10 they ever had anyhow.
Oh, we're at the very first abattoirs of Port Hedland, and I'm just looking at some chains here that are flaking away. It's very rusty. It's, albeit small, it you can see the fridges, the freezers. We might go in there in a moment. But how ironic is it that these days we talk about live export, yet this little piece, this very small element of history in the meat industry is here on display.
Well, actually, that's what created my thoughts on this one, Scott. I was only reading about the shipment of cattle that went recently through Port Hedland. It was the first one in 3 years. Then I thought, well, gee, let's go back a few years when we had our own abattoirs, because they had the abattoirs in Broome at the same time, Norwest Killers, I think I'll call. And when this was open, it was a godsend to people. Another bit of the history it has too was the first lot of Muslims that I think that ever come into Port Hedland come in here to assist in the killing, because, as you know, they killed to their specific religious requests, and they also operated from this same abattoirs that done all the killing that was eaten by the Muslim people. So it had a bit of history in bringing people in here, and families followed. So it's certainly made a big contribution.
Well, it's falling apart now, that's for sure. The fly screen's all torn. There's devices, though, and you can still see. What have we got here?
This is the automatic one for running the rails. This one fed up top there, Scott. It'll go through, and this chain, I think this chain was fed into it. Yeah, it was. You see the chain up top? This was the automatic hydraulic lift that used to pick up the carcasses after they come in on the chain, and they were killed here before they went into the freezers. So I'd say they'd be killed here, then they went in the freezers. And this was the control that used to adjust and used to send the vis along the top rails up there to their ultimate destination.
Wow. Well, let's go inside. Let's have a look inside here. Rusting away, some big thick doors and thick walls. It's the chiller.
But as you can see on the floor, on the bottom here, a fire went through here in the 80s and demolished most of it. And this is part of the relics that are still in here, is the wood that got caught on fire. But the rest of the doors, the electronics, and even the old refrigeration top up here, Scott, it looks in good condition. I'd like to turn it on, but it certainly looks all right.
Yeah, so did the fire that came through, did that sort of signal the end for the abattoir?
Yes, it did. That was the end of the abattoirs. Yes, in between time, Mr. Stock was the original owner. Then it got transferred to a real butcher called Horry McCormick.
There she is. It's a bit of a switch. Even the, see this little, a little gauge, probably the temperature gauge?
Yes, that's the temperature gauge up top there, Scott. It certainly is.
I'm with Arnold Carter, and we're just checking out the site and what's left standing of the first ever and only abattoir in Port Hedland. And this is the end of the process, isn't it?
This is it. After they've all been gutted, all ready to go, this is the mince, the magnificent end of the machine, and this is the mince that they used to, the mince multiplier they used to have there.
What's it say here? 5G hammer mill.
Hammer mill. That evidently must have been a hammer going in there, presumably, because it's been driven by five belts, so it would be pretty fast when it done it, you know, to do the mince. And the mince come out the other side here.
The mincing mill. And that looks like an old carving table.
Yeah, that's certainly the table. You see it's the right height, so they don't have to lean up. It's just the right height for boning out pigs or sheep or whatever. It had been just the right hand, no bending over. So you can see they thought about the right size on that one.
And working our way backwards, here's the race, I reckon. And this is on the outside parts, and there's a old chain here and wheel, and this is all attached. What would this have been used for?
This would certainly be the race. As you can see, they've solidly built those stalls there that nothing could get out of there.
What an amazing part, and you can see the old hooks there still hanging from the ceiling. Meat, we think of mining and resources now and iron ore, but the meat industry in the past, and whether it's, well, pork in this case, in the abattoir's case, but sheep and cattle still plays an important part. Not so much sheep, but definitely this was a pastoral town once.
It certainly was, which wonders to me at the present moment. It's lovely to walk back in history and see how people derive natural nutrition and things like that. But today it just seems to disappear. If we don't get the frozen meat, the frozen pork, the frozen bacon from down southwest, we don't accept it. And I find that, you know, in the 60s and 70s, with this available, he could sell every piece of commodity that he made to the people. They just love eating something they saw produced, you know, in Port Hedland. And that doesn't happen these days. Even the big abattoirs in Broome, that's closed down now. And that used to supply America with hamburgers, things like that. But that's even closed down. But so it seems this trend that people just want to buy it already packaged, already chilled, already frozen, already put in the refrigerator and into the cooking facility. And that, to me, takes out a lot of the naturality of what we have here, but we don't utilise.